Sangam. Attachment. Ajaram. Strong. Pasam. Entanglement. Atmanah. Of the soul. Kavayah. Learned men. Viduhu. No. Sah eva. That same. Sadhushu. To the devotees. Kritah. Applied. Mokshadvaram. The door of liberation. Apavritam. Opened. Translation by Prabhupada. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. Every learned man knows that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Purport. Here it is clearly stated that attachment for one thing is the cause of bondage in conditioned life. And the same attachment when applied to something else opens the door of liberation. Attachment cannot be killed. It has simply to be transferred. Attachment for material things is called material consciousness. And attachment for Krishna or his devotee is called Krishna consciousness. Consciousness, therefore, is the platform of attachment. It is clearly stated here that when we simply purify the consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness, we attain liberation. Despite the statement that one should give up attachment, desirelessness is not possible for a living entity. A living entity, by constitution, has the propensity to be attached to something. We see that if someone has no object of attachment, if he has no children, then he transfers his attachment to cats and dogs. This indicates that the propensity for attachment cannot be stopped. It must be utilized for the best purpose. Our attachment for material things perpetuates our conditional state, but the same attachment, when transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee, becomes the source of liberation. Here it is recommended that attachment should be transferred to the self-realized devotees, the sadhus. And who is a sadhu? A sadhu is not just an ordinary man with a saffron robe or a long beard. A sadhu is described in Bhagavad Gita as one who unflinchingly engages in devotional service. Even though one is found not to be following the strict rules and regulations of devotional service, if one simply has unflinching faith in Krishna, the Supreme Person, he is understood to be a sadhu. Sadhur eva sa mantavyah. A sadhu is a strict follower of devotional service. It is recommended here that if one at all wants to realize Brahman or spiritual perfection, his attachment should be transferred to the sadhu or devotee. Lord Chaitanya also confirmed this. Lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hai. Simply by a moment's association with a sadhu, one can attain perfection. Mahatma is a synonym of sadhu. It is said that service to a Mahatma or elevated devotee of the Lord is dwaram ahur vimukte, the royal road of liberation. Mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimukte, tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. Bhagavatam 5.5.2. Rendering service to the materialists has the opposite effect. If anyone offers service to a gross materialist or a person engaged only in sense enjoyment, then by association with such a person, the door to hell is opened. The same principle is confirmed here. Attachment to a devotee is attachment to the service of the Lord. Because if one associates with a sadhu, the result will be that the sadhu will teach him how to become a devotee, a worshipper, and a sincere servitor of the Lord. these are the gifts of the sadhu. If we want to associate with the sadhu, we cannot expect him to give us instructions on how to improve our material condition. But he will give us instructions on how to cut the knot of contamination of material attraction and how to elevate ourselves in devotional service. That is the result of associating with a sadhu. Kapila Muni, first of all, instructs that the path of liberation begins with such association. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Dhyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatam Maham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpataru Bhyascha Kripasindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanan Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudhiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavatir Naishtiki Prasangam Majaram Pasam Atmanaha Kavyo Vidhu Sa Eva Sadhu Shukrito Moksha Dwaram Apavartam. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul, but that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. So, this is the 20th verse of this chapter. This chapter begins with Saunaka Rishi asking Sutta Goswami to describe the activities and glories of Lord Kapila. Because Lord Kapila was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in response to that, Sutta Goswami is now responding to Saunaka Rishi, citing a conversation between Maitreya Muni and Vidura, wherein Maitreya Muni tells Vidura that Lord Kapila stayed in Bindu Sarovar. Obviously, we all know that now, by now, Kardama Muni has gone away. He has left Devahuti, he has gone to the forest to do his bhajan. And Devahuti's son, Lord Kapila, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is now beginning to instruct his mother on the science of Sankhya Yoga. So now Lord Kapila is seated on the strands of the Bindu Sarovar. Devahuti, his mother, starts by lamenting about her material contamination. She says that I have been captured by Maya. So I need a way by which I can come out of my material contamination and my material attachments. So Lord Kapiladev starts talking about the influence of false ego, pretty similar to what Lord Rishabhadev explains later on, in later sections of Srimad Bhagavatam, later cantos. So he talks about the principles of false ego, by which one thinks that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am the center of the universe, and everything is meant for my enjoyment. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. So Lord Kapila is explaining that, and he is also explaining to his mother that with the acts of bhakti you have to cut the tree of attachment, material attachment. So obviously the question for in Devahuti's mind is, now how do I overcome this material attachment? So in answer to that, Lord Kapildev is giving this verse, saying that if you want to cut down material attachment, then attachment cannot be cut down, it has to be transferred to a sadhu, because attachment is the intrinsic nature of the spirit soul. So today we'll discuss few aspects about attachment to sadhus and how it is important in our lives. And we'll discuss some principles that are centered around attachment to saintly personalities. So the first question is, why must we develop attachment to devotees? So as Prabhupada has written in this purport, attachment is a natural phenomenon. It's an intrinsic characteristic of the spirit soul. So attachment as a principle cannot be taken out from anybody's heart. Everyone in this material world is attached to something or the other. Of course, most people are attached to wealth, name and fame. But even those who are not attached to all these things are still attached to something else. Some people will say that I don't want name, I don't want fame, I just want my family to be very happy. That's all. I just want to serve my family. Even if I live very simply in a hut, that's okay. But I want my children to be very happy. I want my parents to be very happy. So somewhere that attachment is there. Or attachment goes to beyond the family to society. It goes beyond society to country, where people are saying that, you know, my attachment to the country means I can give my life for my country. So this attachment cannot be taken out of the spirit soul. Right from childhood, we see these principles of attachment. A child is very attached to his or her toy. Okay? And if anyone takes away that toy, then, you know, the parents have a very difficult time controlling the child. Sometimes the child is even attached to that day one small congregational child, very cute child, he had come to my house and he came with a stick. He had picked up from the road somewhere. You know. And then when we took away that stick, he was howling and crying. You know. He wanted that stick from the road. It's not even worth 10 cents. But that stick is very important to the child. Okay. So you and I will think, what is this? But we were also attached when we were. But we never realized that we were attached in that way. So for that child, that stick is very important. You give $10, the child doesn't care. For him, he wants the stick from the road. So that is, so the principle of attachments begins from childhood. And this principle of attachment, even when we are approaching death, it doesn't go away. It just manifests in different forms. So the example is given of one businessman who had a shop, Lalaji. He had a shop and he was very old. He was so old that he had grandchildren, great-grandchildren and so many people. So one day when he was on deathbed, Lalaji was on deathbed, then his whole family was around and his children were telling him, Lalaji, now you are leaving your body. See, your son has come, your son's son has come, his daughters have come, grandchildren, the whole family is here, uncle, auntie, everybody is here. No. All your cousins are here, Lalaji. So he is very happy, you know, seeing that so many people have come to give him respect. But suddenly he becomes very morose and anxious and he says, if so many people are here, who is there in the shop? You know, managing the business. So even at the time of death, that attachment doesn't go. Right from childhood to death, it still remains. Even after death, when someone is explained that after death, you will anyway be plucked out from your body, still there is attachment to that body, even after knowing that. Srila Prabhupada was once explaining that after returning to the spiritual world, you need not come back to this material world. So one gentleman was there in the hearing this lecture of Srila Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, I am from Jhansi in India. So will I come back to Jhansi in my next life? No. He's asking that. It's like saying I am from, you know, Derimut or something, you know. So can I come back to, you know, Derimut or Point Cook in my next life? So people are very attached to their place of birth. So even after death, they want to come back to the same place. So that is the nature of attachment. Now, when because this material attachment is so strong, Maharaj Parikshit, when he asks Sukadeva Goswami at the beginning of the second canto, what is the duty of a man about to die? Sukadeva Goswami is narrating us many verses on attachment, on this principle of attachment. And one of the most famous verses is, Dehapatya Kalatra Adishu Atma Saineshva Satvapi Tesham Pramatho Nidanam Pashyanapi Na Pashyati. He says that a man is usually attached to Deha. Deha means his own body. Or Apatya, wife, Kalatra, children, Adishu. So man is attached to home, hearth, body, wife, children, so many things. And he is explaining that all this is asatva. All this, these are fallible soldiers. They will not save you at the time of your death. And you cannot be with them. You cannot take them along at the time of your death. Everyone comes alone and everyone goes alone. So he is saying that this is the nature of material attachment. But still, even after hearing so many instructions, pashyanapi na pashyati, we still do not understand this principle. Now, while this is attachment of the hardcore materialist, even in spiritual life, sometimes even in brahmachari life, there is attachments. For example, Prabhupada talked about, he told a story of attachment to the cowpin. So there also there is some attachment, whether it is my cowpin or your cowpin. Now, in this regard, one recent, in one of the Vyasa Puja, one of my god brothers was narrating one interesting pastime. His name is Gaurang Prabhu. He was narrating this pastime in public. So, since he is narrated in public, I am mentioning this. So, His Holiness Radhanath Swami's Vyasa Puja, and he was mentioning that how he got valuable lessons in life from his spiritual master. He said that, he was doing a lot of preaching programs, and all of you know, his guest Gaurang Prabhu is one of the very well-known preachers in ISKCON. He comes on television, when he goes for a program, there are lakhs of people who come to hear from him. So, a very accomplished preacher, so he is doing a lot of night programs, and one day night he comes to, the temple, and the temple is very dark. He has come back from his preaching programs, and what happens was, in the darkness, he can't see. So when he's entering the temple, but he knows there is one particular spot where he always wants to sleep. And actually that spot, that those days, I think the Brahmachari ashram was still not very mature in its construction. So it was almost like this. In the temple floor itself, devotees will sleep. So then he came into that room and it was very dark. But he somehow kind of waded his way to where he always used to sleep. So always he wants to sleep on that spot only in the temple. Okay. So when he went that day to sleep in that particular spot, he found that somebody was sleeping there in that spot. And then in Hindi usually he said, "Hey, kone! Who is that? Hatoya sir. Come on, side." Like that. And then he told once, and then the person was not moving. Again he was trying. And after some time, a voice came from inside. He asked, "Who is this?" And the voice from inside came, "This is Radhanath Swami." His spiritual master was sleeping there and he's telling you, "Hato! Move away from here." Okay. So the spiritual master had taken that position in that brahmachari, in that spot, just to teach the disciple, don't be even attached to this, to sleeping in that particular spot in the brahmachari ashram. So this is the nature of attachment. Of course, Gaurang Prabhu is a highly realized devotee. In his own humility, he was mentioning this for our benefit. So, a very interesting pastime. I thought I'll just share with all of you. So we never know what we get attached to in life. Right from the stick to that cowpin to, the business to a spot in the temple where one has to sleep. So attachment can manifest in any form. Now at the same time, if you see, the same attachment is considered as one of the 9 stages of progression in bhakti. Starting from Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajanakriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi Asakti, which is attachment. So it is considered, it is the 7th stage of bhakti. Just 2 levels below Bhava and Prema, ecstasy and love of Godhead. So on one hand, the nature of material attachment is as such. On the other hand, this attachment, spiritual attachment, is just 2 levels below Prema. And that contrast is being explained by Lord Kapiladev to Mother Devahuti, saying that material attachment is binding, whereas spiritual attachment is liberating. It's one of the stages of bhakti, in fact. So Srila Prabhupada explains that attachment to the Lord is not different than the attachment to the devotee of the Lord, or attachment to the devotee of the Lord is not different from attachment to the Lord. Prabhupada is explaining that principle. In fact, the Shastras mention that attachment to the devotee is higher than attachment to the Lord. So in fact, one must cultivate attachment to the devotee more than one must cultivate attachment to the Lord himself. And there is a lot of Shastra Praman that is there in this. Lord Rishabhadev, Prabhupada again was quoting this verse. Lord Rishabhadev says in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Amur Vimuktes Tamodwaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam Mahantaste Samachitta Prashantaha Vimanyaha Suhrida Sadhavoye. So he says that a man develops his association with sadhus, that association opens the path to liberation, whereas a man who associates with people who are attached to wine, women and sex will attain those qualities. In Srimad Bhagavatam, even in 11th canto, in the 19th chapter, which is called as the perfection of spiritual knowledge, there is a verse which says, Mad bhakta pujya pujya vyadika sarva bhuteshu man matihi, which means the worship of the devotee is higher than the worship of Lord Krishna himself. Because Lord Krishna himself says that my devotee is very worshipable because every moment of his life he lives only for me. It's like that famous song in childhood. I used to hear one song. Every breath you take. You know, remember that song? The Police. Every breath you take, every move you make. You know? So I'll be, what is that? Watching you. There was one famous song like that. So every breath that the Mahatma takes or the sadhu takes, it is essentially only for the purpose of serving Krishna. Every move he makes is for satisfying Krishna. So that is why Mad Bhaktya Pujya Vadika, which means my devotee is highly worshipable. In the Padma Purana, Lord Shiva also tells Parvati, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnor Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devim Tadiyanam Samarchanam, which means that out of all the worship of the demigods or anybody, any personality, the highest worship is that of Lord Vishnu. But higher than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of his devotee. The devotees of Lord Vishnu are more worshipable than Lord Vishnu himself. So there is one of the Mahajanas, Lord Shiva himself is explaining that to Parvati. In the Hari Bhakti Vilasa 4.344, it is mentioned, Prathamam tu Gurum Pujya Tathaschaiva Mama Archanam Kurvan Siddhim Avapnoti Hi Anyatha Nishphalam Bhavet. Which means, if anyone worships his spiritual master first and then worships me, he certainly achieves perfection. Otherwise, his worship remains fruitless. That is why we worship the, we do Prabhupada puja every day. Just now we offered our prayers to Srila Prabhupada, and then now we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. Even in that one line, you know, so many years sometimes it didn't catch my attention, but today, Shri Guru Charane Rati Eise Uttamagati. So there also it is said, attachment to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. So I was just seeing that and thinking that, oh, today's verse is talking about that. So every day we are reminded this principle. It's not only that this verse is reminded. When we do the Guru Puja, we are reminded that we have to get attached, develop our attachment to Srila Prabhupada. Now, why this attachment has to be there to the pure devotees? Because as I mentioned, the pure devotees carry the agenda of Lord Krishna all the time. There is no other purpose of their lives. They are pure missionaries. And who themselves are self-realized. And there is one verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita also in this regard. Atma haite Krishna bhakte bada kari mane. The Lord is more pleased with the glorification of his devotee than that of himself directly. Because the Lord considers the devotees greater than himself. Atma haite Krishna bhakte bada kari mane. The Lord Chaitanya is mentioning this. This is from Adi Leela 6.101. Ihate bahuta shastra vachana pramane. In this connection again, it is mentioned Mahaprabhu is saying that there are a lot of scriptures also which have abundance of proof that the devotee, worship of the devotee is higher than that of the Lord. Mahaprabhu is mentioning this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I think it is a section on Advaita Acharya's past glorification. In that section it comes. So, attachment to these missionaries of Krishna consciousness is very important for our progress in spiritual life and for us getting detached from material life. But one may say that there are so many missionaries in this world. Many missionaries are those who are helping mankind. For example, Mother Teresa was there. She was a missionary. Then there are so many impersonal Brahmavadis who are there. So many great personalities have come in India who are great Brahmavadis like Ramana Maharishi. Then there are those who are missionaries who are propounding personalism and bhakti. We have Ramanujacharya, we have Madhvacharya who are propounding the path of bhakti. So therefore, so many missionaries are there. Who do we get attached to? The answer is given by Srila Rupa Goswami in Laghu Bhagavatamrit, where he mentions that it is concluded that the worship of devotees, engaged in the Lord's service in Madhurya Ras. It is concluded that the worship of devotees engaged in the Lord's service in Madhurya Ras is the supreme spiritual activity. Essentially, this means the followers of Lord Chaitanya. So our attachment has to be towards the followers of Lord Chaitanya. If it is there, then that is the highest attachment in this world. So we are very fortunate in that sense. We have that opportunity to associate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers at the sampradayic level as well as the institutional level. At the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya level also we can get that attachment. We have enough of, lot of sadhus are there who are pure devotees, and within ISKCON also we have these pure devotees. Now, attachment to the devotee, what are the benefits? There are two benefits that come because of attachment to the devotee. The two major benefits are, one, it begets the attachment of Lord Krishna himself, and number two, it begets the mercy and blessings of the pure devotee to whom we are attached to. Now let's see some examples of that. So on the first one, where attachment to devotees or service to devotees begets the mercy of Lord Krishna himself, one of the most powerful examples we come across is in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Essentially, the pastime of Aghasura. Now Aghasura, who was Aghasura? Aghasura actually was the younger brother of Putana and Bakasura. And in the sequence of the pastimes in the 10th canto, obviously Putana is one, the first one to be killed by Lord Krishna, and then followed by Shakatasura and so many demons, and then finally comes to Bakasura. And then now the turn is of Aghasura to get killed. Now Aghasura knows that Lord Krishna has killed his brother and sister. So he's come. What is his mood towards Lord Krishna? Not anukulyasya sankalpa. Nowhere it is anukul. It is completely pratikul. He wants to not only kill Krishna, he wants to kill Krishna and the entire Vrajavasis. He wants to destroy everyone. He doesn't want anyone to be left alive. So his plan is that I not only want to kill Krishna, but every single resident. So he comes as a massive snake and he, as a python, and he opens his mouth wide. It is said that his lower jaw was touching the earth and his upper lip was touching the clouds. No? So he is standing like that and patiently waiting. And then what happens? We all know that the cowherd boys, they are all, some of them are thinking that it is a cave. So they want to enter the cave. And the other cowherd boys are saying, hang on, it's not a cave. It looks like, you know, something very vicious. So let us be very careful. But these cowherd boys are convincing the other cowherd boys. See the faith in the Lord. They say that don't worry, even if it is snake, what happens? Krishna will protect us. So let us anyway go inside and enjoy. So these cowherd boys are goading the other cowherd boys, and everyone is entering Aghasura's mouth. And Aghasura is also very patient. You know, he is waiting for the main catch, Lord Krishna to enter. So then eventually Lord Krishna also enters inside Aghasura's mouth. As soon as Lord Krishna enters, Aghasura closes his mouth. And it is mentioned, of course, I'm not going into the details, but very nicely it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam that it was pitch dark inside and there was absolutely no oxygen to breathe. So for some time, just for a few moments, the cowherd boys were enjoying that cave and playing inside and in the darkness, no? In the darkness, usually children go and call out, do cat calls and try to, you know, find each other. So they were enjoying for some time. But when it closed, they all perished. It is mentioned they all died. So all of them gave up their life. Of course, Lord Krishna then revived them by his powers. But essentially what happened was he closed his mouth. And then what did Lord Krishna do after that? Now, Lord Krishna in this particular feature, he doesn't want to kill demons with any weapon. If you see right from the start, right from Putana, he is not using any weapon. Otherwise, when Lord Narsingadev, you know, was fighting with Hiranyakashipu, immediately, you know, Shila Tankha Nakhalai, you know, he tore him with the weapon of his nails, right? Or if you see many other pastimes, the Lord uses Sudarshan Chakra. He uses Sudarshan Chakra to, you know, kill so many demons. But in this pastime, the Lord has up until now not used any weapon. Now, even in this situation, when it is pitch dark inside, the Lord doesn't use any weapon. Even to kill Bakasura, when Bakasura swallowed the Lord, he just generated enough heat inside such that Bakasura had to spit the Lord out. Now, in this case, what does Lord do? He expands himself so big that Agasura cannot retain him and he chokes to death. And then Lord Krishna comes out and then all the gopas also come out. Now, Lord Krishna, why does he not use any weapon? Because he does not want any disturbance to his relationship with his intimate devotees. The only thing he is interested in, that these people should either see me as a friend, they should see me as a son, or they should see me as a lover. They should not see me as Bhagavan. So I shouldn't be doing anything extraordinary. And the advantage is that Agasura has created that advantage of darkness. So nobody saw that Lord Krishna expanded himself. In the dark you can't see who is expanding. Right? So very cleverly Lord Krishna performed this pastime. Now see, what should Agasura actually ordinarily get? Agasura should actually be damned eternally to hell. Okay, because Lord says, even in Jagai Madhai Leela, till the time Lord Nityananda, the moment he was touched, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for Sudarshan Chakra. Right? So, ordinarily these people would have been condemned to hell. Durvasa Muni, you know, just for offending, the Sudarshan Chakra was chasing him everywhere. Now, what to speak of this? Here actually, you know, the same principle of trying to kill devotees. So, actually Lord should have got Sudarshan Chakra. But what did he do? He killed Agasura, no doubt, but he gave Agasura two things. Everyone saw that when Agasura was killed, a light came out of Agasura's mouth, and then that was Agasura's soul in the form of a light, and it was hovering around for some time, and eventually the light disappeared and Agasura got Sarupya Mukti. Now Agasura did not get impersonal liberation. Even if he would have got impersonal liberation, we would have probably said, oh, that's okay, impersonal liberation, devotees would have said, okay, anyway, he didn't get anything much. But actually he got Sarupya Mukti, which is eternal residence in Vaikuntha and having the same form as Krishna. Of course, Prabhupada explains that in the purport that the reason Agasura, that light was shown because Krishna wanted to demonstrate, he wanted to defeat Mayavad philosophy. Right? Lord Krishna wanted to show that light is there and I am also here. So it's not that I am the light, but I am the source of that light. So he wanted to show the difference between the light and his personal feature. So that is the reason for some time that pastime was shown. And then later on, he gave Sarupya Mukti to Agasura. Now, why did he do that? Just because for that fraction of a moment when the gopas were enjoying in the darkness, some affection Agasura felt for them. Little kids playing, you know. His enmity actually was with Krishna in one sense. But when children are playing, some little bit of affection had come in his heart towards them. Some attachment to the devotees. And for that, such a big reward. So this is a very great example, very vivid example of how much a small attachment towards a devotee can give us the greatest destination, even with all our demonic tendencies. So it begets the mercy of Lord Krishna. So that is one very good example for all of us. Another example is from a book called as Saints of Raja, which was written by Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Dr. O.B.L. Kapoor. Adi Keshav Prabhu. So in the first story itself, in that book, Saints of Raja, it talks about, and I've told this before also, it talks about a very simple devotee whose name is Bhondu. Bhondu actually in Hindi also means, you know, a dullard. You know, a person, what do you call that as a person who is, who doesn't know the ways of the world? Simpleton, right? Simpleton. So he's that kind of, he doesn't know anything other than grazing cows. And he sees one Mahabhagwat lecturing on the pastimes of Krishna, on the 10th canto. Every day this Bhondu, before he goes to graze the cows, he hears this Mahabhagwat, who is talking about Lord Krishna's 10th canto pastimes. So as he hears, every day, this Mahabhagwat is speaking in the words, that Lord Krishna and that Lord Balaram, one is, he explains the color of both. And then he says that they go into the forest, they have this complexion, and then they go to graze the cows, and they are all playing in the forest, and then they all share their tiffin boxes and whatever. So usual Bhagavatam class. Every day after day, month after month, year after year, the spiritual master is giving these classes. Mahabhagavat. And this Bhondu is a very simple person. So he absorbs everything and then he goes into the forest. Now after some days, he comes back and one day he meets this Mahabhagwat and he says, Mahabhagwat says, how's it going? You know, he says that, yeah, it's very nice, you know. That boys who you are saying, they're really amazing, you know. Every day, you know, I'm playing with them in the forest and the spiritual master is, what? Oh, yeah, every day I'm going to the forest, I'm playing with that Balaram and that Krishna. And it's so much of fun I'm having there. And this Mahabhagwat is thinking, for so many years, I am giving so many classes on 10th canto. You know, sometimes even I doubt whether all this is true or not. And this boy is coming and telling me he's playing, so he's doubting. Oh, something is wrong, I think. Maybe he's telling the truth or maybe he's not. So one day, to cut a long story short, he goes behind this Bhondu and then he hides behind a tree and then he watches. And then he watches this boy. And then lo and behold, Lord Krishna is coming in the forest and Bhondu is playing with them. And then the moment he comes in, and then what happens? Obviously when you see that, let's say you are the spiritual master and then Lord Krishna is coming in front of Bhondu, and then immediately you will go and fall, pay obeisances to Lord Krishna. Right? So the moment he goes, Lord Krishna disappears. And then he is devastated. So he comes back and then he realizes, what an advanced devotee I have. He doesn't know any Bhagavatam verses, nothing, but he's so simple at heart. He simply believed and put full faith in whatever I spoke, and he went and he's playing with Lord Krishna. I didn't believe him. And for a moment, even I thought that maybe, you know, he's bluffing, right? And Lord Krishna immediately went away. So this Bhondu, and then he tells some of the disciple comes to know that my spiritual master did not get the mercy of Lord Krishna. So next day, Bhondu is going again to the forest and Lord Krishna is coming. So this time, Bhondu is very upset. And Lord Krishna is coming, come on Bhondu, let's play. So Bhondu tells, I don't want to play with you. He tells Krishna, I don't want to play with you guys. He says, why? Lord is telling, because you did not respect my spiritual master. You didn't give your mercy to him. Therefore, I have nothing to do with you. And then Lord Krishna is coming behind Bhondu and falling at his feet. No, please, you call him here, I will give him. But you please don't speak such words. I can't tolerate you not playing with me. You know. So this is how Lord Krishna's mercy comes to that spiritual master because of Bhondu like that. So these are very nice examples of how the attachment which the spiritual master had to his devotee, in this case, the reverse case, led to Lord Krishna's mercy onto the spiritual master. Like that. Now, attachment to a devotee also begets attachment, mercy of that pure devotee himself. Again, one of the most vivid examples that comes to mind is that of Lokanath Goswami and Narottam Das Thakur. Lokanath Goswami, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, he was considering committing suicide. And imagine Lokanath Goswami's frame of mind. He left, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you go to Vrindavan. So he went to Vrindavan. Little did he know that was the last time that he was seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was waiting in Vrindavan hoping that Mahaprabhu will come someday. And then his viraha tap, the fire of separation was so high that he tried to follow Mahaprabhu everywhere. No, he tried to get news that Mahaprabhu is in Sridanga. Then he says Mahaprabhu is in Navadvip. So he goes all around India walking. And every time he reaches that place, Mahaprabhu is in some other place. Right? And then finally he comes and then Mahaprabhu leaves the world. So just imagine his state of mind. In that state of mind, he wants nothing else but to end his own life. He said, there is no use of my living. Now, if someone is in such a state of mind, what will be his mood to take disciples? Right? All he wants is to go back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Lord Chaitanya, to cut a long story short again, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and tells him, no, Rupa and Sanatana are coming here, you be with them as a guide, and then your disciple Narottam Das will come, and you have to accept him as a disciple. So Narottam Das Thakur comes, and he approaches Loknath Goswami, and begs for shelter and initiation. Please accept me as your disciple. And Loknath Goswami says, no, I am not qualified. There are better people who are qualified. So no initiation. So what does Narottam Das Thakur do? Narottam Das Thakur goes every day to that place where Loknath Goswami performs his, he goes to answer the call of nature, evacuation. So he goes there, and every day Narottam Das Thakur is taking a broom and sweeping, and nobody knows who is cleaning that. And then he's sweeping, and not only is he sweeping that, but he's hugging that broom and rolling on the dust. So every day when Loknath Goswami goes and sees, he sees that place is very clean. So he's wondering who is cleaning this every day. And then when he hides behind, one day he finds that it is Narottam Das Thakur. Now seeing that humility of his and service attitude of his disciple, then Loknath Goswami accepts him as his disciple. Now we need to understand that Loknath Goswami did not accept Narottam Das Thakur simply because Narottam Das Thakur showed respect to Loknath Goswami. Because Loknath Goswami was beyond that. He's a pure devotee. Pure devotees don't want any respect from anyone. Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishnana. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. They only want to give respect to others because they consider that they are the most fallen anyway. So it is not, he didn't give mercy because of that. But he gave mercy because of the sincere desire of Narottam Das Thakur to attain Lord Krishna through the principle of attachment to the spiritual master. So again that same principle begot initiation for Narottam Das Thakur from Loknath Goswami. So therefore, attachment to a devotee begets the mercy of Lord Krishna and begets the causeless mercy of the spiritual master. Because only out of mercy, Loknath Goswami accepted Narottam Das Thakur as a disciple. Of course, Narottam Das Thakur was more than qualified anyway to be his disciple. But this is a pastime for all of us to understand. Now, having seen this power of attachment to a devotee, how can we ignore then cultivating attachment to devotees and still expect that we will go back to Godhead? So we cannot ignore this principle, having heard so much in this matter. So direct attachment to Lord Krishna is not possible. Sometimes, we see people coming to the temple, they'll come here and then they'll just, class is going on, but they will have nothing to do with any devotees. Just come inside, walk inside and then put some milk or something and then put some money and then walk out. Right? That is the initial stage. It is good. At least they are coming to the temple. They want to serve the Lord. It is great. Glorious. Manushyanam Sahasreshu. Very rare that someone comes to the temple and someone comes acknowledges Krishna as God. So still they are very great. But better, higher than that is at sitting in the Bhagavatam class and hearing about the Lord and trying to that initial sentiment for Krishna has to be now transformed into love for Lord by devotional service. And that is where devotees come in picture. So we cannot ignore the devotees and still expect that we can approach the Lord. It's just like we cannot ignore the child and then hope to have a good relationship with the father. It is not going to work. In fact, the other way may sometimes work. Even if I have some enmity with the father, but for example, if the child is jobless and suppose we help the child get a job, then the father will come and say that, we had some enmity, but you have pleased me because my son is now, because of whatever, like that, right? So even if we have enmity with the father, because of friendship with the child, we will still have a chance with Krishna. But with all our love to Krishna, if we don't behave with devotees properly, nothing is going to come out of our endeavor in bhakti. So it is so important. Now, how to develop this attachment? So this attachment, it begins with association, even with a casual visit to the temple. Now this is very nicely explained in Nectar of Devotion, and especially if you read Dhanudhar Maharaja's commentary on Waves of Devotion, then there it is mentioned that attachment is of two types. One is imitative attachment and one is the permanent attachment, the real attachment. Now, imitative attachment is also of two types. One is called as shadow attachment and one is called as transcendental attachment or para attachment. So, Rupa Goswami mentions there that the shadow attachment for the neophyte devotee is caused by inquisitiveness. So, out of inquisitiveness, someone may come to the temple. Oh, what's going on here? And then, over there, Kadambakanand Maharaj is performing a kirtan. Now, all of you know, when Kadambakanand Maharaj performs kirtan, no one can sit. You have to stand up and dance. It is it's natural for everyone to wildly start dancing. Or that day, Devamrita Maharaj was performing kirtan. So, when these devotees perform kirtan, not only because of their voice, but simply because of the purity that they have in their Krishna consciousness, their love for the Lord, their kirtan makes everyone dance. So, some devotee, some aspirant, new person has come inside, who may not be following regulative principles, he may not be guided by any devotees. So, such a devotee, they come inside and what happens, just the sheer mood of the kirtan, just the sheer atmosphere and just the sheer association of these personalities who are doing these kirtans, some attachment from their hearts reflects as a shadow in their hearts. So that is called as shadow attachment. And momentarily, they feel bliss, which they have never felt all these days in material life. This is a new devotee who has come, new person who has come to the temple. I remember I also felt that when I was initial days, when I was pulled by one of my friends to Radha Gopinath temple, I went to Chaupati temple, and then everyone was doing like this, Hare Krishna, like that, and I was standing like this. I said, I'm not going to do like this, because there was a movie in Hindi, in Bollywood, where people were on drugs and doing like this, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, like that. The movie itself was Dham Maro Dham, that movie was there. There I saw people in LSD doing like this. So I thought, I am not going to do like that. Otherwise, there's no difference between me and the people who are taking drugs. So I was standing like this. But I still remember very vividly on that day, I think probably Devamrita Prabhu, who is now Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj, he was doing kirtan. And I got carried into, I don't know when I started raising my hand. I still don't remember, but I was into it. And I was dancing, And I vividly remember, and my friend came up to me and said, Maza aaya. I said, haan yaar, achha laga. He asked me, was it good? And I said, actually it was good. I came with a lot of inhibitions, but then it just happened. So I can relate to this example. And I felt something on that day, which I never felt before. So this is called as shadow attachment. The moon-like rays from the hearts of these pure devotees, and by their influence, show some likeness or attachment caused by inquisitiveness. So something will come from their heart to us. But then that is very flickering. The moment I walked out of the temple, back to material life. So it's very flickering. So it's not permanent attachment. But still, having experienced that small shadow, some devotees start experiencing the first traces of detachment. They say that, what is there? When I came out also, I was thinking, how happy I was inside that. Just 5 minutes of ecstasy there, inside that Hare Krishna temple. And then I went back to, my material life, my office, and I was thinking that, what is this here? That was so blissful. And I've never experienced anything like that. So, that gave some small detachment. The initial traces of the detachment from material life. That there is something higher than just working like a donkey, in corporate life. So, that is called as para-attachment or transcendental attachment. By the manifestation of such shadow attachment, one feels the disappearance of material pangs. That is called as para-attachment. So, these two are shadow attachments. Now, real attachment. Now, how to develop real attachment to the sadhu? One, having got the shadow attachment. So, Rupa Goswami answers that as one of the first items in Nectar of Devotion, out of the 64 items. What is that? Taking shelter of a spiritual master. That is the beginning of serious devotional life. Serious devotional life does not begin till we take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. We can keep coming to the temple for donkey years. That attachment will not come till we actually take shelter of a spiritual master. And this principle, many devotees, even after telling 100,000 times, they will not understand. They will be so rigid, no, I will not take shelter. This is just called as, this is a subtle form of false ego which is coming. That I will not surrender to any human being. Because they think that spiritual masters are ordinary human beings. There are so many reasons why they may be thinking like that. But taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master in disciplic succession is the first step in spiritual life. Serious spiritual life has not begun until we do that. Now, taking shelter means what? Taking shelter means placing questions to the spiritual master with genuine eagerness, not to challenge the spiritual master, but genuine eagerness, sincerely practicing based on the instructions which spiritual master gives. There has to be practice. And how do we know someone is practicing the instructions of spiritual master? There will be struggle. If somebody is not struggling, that means either they are Paramahamsa or they are not practicing only. Right? So there will be struggle. Oh Maharaj, I was trying to control my sex desire, but sometimes, this is called a struggle, continuous struggle. So struggle is, now when we continuously struggle like that struggle will lead to humility. If we are not struggling, we will never become humble. If there is genuine struggle, then there will be humility that will come. And there will be helplessness also, which will accompany that humility. I'm trying so hard, but I am not getting the results. That is a very good sign. Then we will become even more humble and we will pray more. And when we get the result, we will know very well that it was not because of my endeavor, but it was of the mercy that I got because of the struggle that I did. So these are the aspects of taking shelter. Then seeking guidance from the spiritual master. And when one struggles like this and realizes something, then those realizations of our own heart then will give us the faith to struggle further in Krishna consciousness for higher goals thereof. And it will also, and then the happiness which we derive out of the results that come out of bhakti will also reinforce that particular faith, not only in the process of bhakti, but unto the person who helped us through the struggle, which is the pure devotee of the Lord. So that is how the process of taking shelter, struggling in Krishna consciousness, developing realizations, which then leads to bliss, which increases our faith, and then our attachment back to the person who is cultivating us. So that is how the cycle of attachment works. Now, when we speak this, such attachment should not be misunderstood, of course. Many times when we talk about attachment to pure devotee, yes, Prabhu, I am very attached to my spiritual master. What do you mean, your spiritual master? Because our mind is so conditioned that we think attachment to pure devotee means attachment to my spiritual master, my Diksha Guru. Now, this is one big, big problem. This is a big mindset. This is a demon, not demon in the sense, D-A-E-M-O-N. It's like, in the background in computer, there is a daemon program which keeps running, which the computer is not aware of. It's not activated, it's automatically keeps running. So this sometimes keeps automatically running. When we say attachment to sadhu, we think only of our spiritual master. But it is not that. Only of our Diksha Guru specifically. If you see, that day also somebody was mentioning in the lecture, Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not take initiation from Jagannath Das Babaji. It was not initiating spiritual master relationship. It was not a Diksha relationship. Our whole disciplic succession is a Shiksha lineage. So we have to understand this principle. So we should not become very fanatical that attachment means only my Diksha Guru I will be attached to. The principle of attachment is to any pure devotee. They may be our Diksha Guru or they may be Shiksha Guru. Of course, the highest attachment we should have is to who? Srila Prabhupada, who is our founder Acharya, who is our Param Shiksha Guru. Which is why the ISKCON disciples course becomes very important for all of us to understand. Otherwise, there will be chaos within ISKCON. Sometimes this attachment and fanaticism with one's own spiritual master can actually divide ISKCON instead of uniting ISKCON. So we have to understand this principle. Now this attachment, when we say attachment to Shiksha Guru, it need not be someone who is necessarily senior to us. Our Shiksha Guru can come from our peer group also, and our Shiksha Guru can be the persons to who we are cultivating also. Sometimes, many times, we see that people who we are cultivating, when we tell them chant attentively, they are chanting attentively, we are not chanting attentively. And then they become our Shiksha Guru because they are doing something practical, which we are not doing. We are saying it, and by saying it, we may become very, people will say, oh, very good class, I got inspired. But the person who gives the class is not great. The person who gets inspired from the class and puts something into practice, that person then is truly qualified to be the Shiksha Guru for that particular principle because he's doing something practical out of it. So, attachment can be to any devotee, senior, junior, peer. Of course, at the highest level, as we said, attachment should be to Srila Prabhupada. Now, how to develop attachment to devotees? Specifically, our primary attachment to Srila Prabhupada. I was talking to some devotee a few years back and they said, if you want to develop attachment to Srila Prabhupada, you must read Leelamrit. Srila Prabhupada's Leelamrit, the life story of Srila Prabhupada must be studied. In fact, the devotee who I was speaking to, this devotee was a very high academic achiever in computer science, and also he was representing India in under 16 cricket or something like that. So he was very good in studies, very good in sports. He was the son of a very wealthy businessman in India, and he was living, his house was in one of the poshest areas in Bombay, facing the Arabian Sea. So you can't get this kind of combination. You know, this is a very high birth, high parentage. He doesn't have to work in his life. His father was, had multiple businesses, garments businesses, truck businesses, and so many things. And then he was at the peak of his academics and cricket. At that time, he got Leelamrit, and he took the Leelamrit, and he was only son of his parents. He left and joined the temple. That is the power of Leelamrit. Leelamrit can give that attachment to the feet. And we are eternally grateful to His Holiness Satswarup Das Maharaj that he took this, that is his service to Srila Prabhupada and to all of us. You know, we are very grateful to him. So we must study Leelamrit if we have to really be attached to Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise that attachment is less likely to manifest. It will come definitely, but Leelamrit is like an accelerator or a catalyst. So attachment to Srila Prabhupada and to Srila Prabhupada's disciplic succession and to all the devotees in general within ISKCON, outside of ISKCON is the key to attaining Lord Krishna. So I'll end the class with two challenges that come in developing these attachments. What is the first challenge in developing this attachment? Fear of commitment. When we say attach yourself to a spiritual master or to a devotee, then there is a fear of commitment. That is because many people are burnt by past poor experiences in their lives. So they may see that attachment leads to disappointment. It has always led to disappointment in my earlier life. I have been frustrated. Therefore, I am very wary of getting attached. So that could be one reason, one blocker. Now, how to overcome that? So that therefore, Srila Prabhupada established institution called as ISKCON. And we are very thankful. Srila Prabhupada's move to establish institutional framework for giving devotional service is a very innovative way of giving bhakti to everyone. In India, there weren't many institutions that were giving this. Of course, His Holiness Bhakti Saraswati Swami Maharaj established the Gaudiya Math. But Prabhupada took it to the West. And Srila Prabhupada knew that to give Krishna consciousness in the West, it has to be institutionalized. Just like if you take a bullet and throw it at someone, it may not kill the person. But if you administer the same bullet through a gun, immediate death. So the same thing which is administered through a different tool has got different effects. So Srila Prabhupada administered Krishna consciousness through an institution. Because when an institution comes, then automatically there is governance in the institution. So we have the governing body commission in ISKCON. So the governing body commission takes the responsibility to vet that each and every person who is given the authorities of a spiritual master, then that person is carefully monitored by the governing body commission. So this is the power of an institution. Of course, it doesn't mean that somebody will not fall down. Anyone can fall down. Anyone can fall down because we are all tathashta shakti. So we are vulnerable to fall down. But all that is monitored and governed. So it is less likely that someone who is taking to Krishna consciousness within an institutional framework where there is governance coming out of the principles of the shastras may go wrong. And even in those rare cases where some spiritual master may fall down, then the devotee has ample opportunities to continue taking shelter from another spiritual master and progress in Krishna consciousness. So that is the vision which Srila Prabhupada had, and because of which we are all very safe within ISKCON. So one need not fear getting attached to a devotee in this sampradaya. The second one is, the challenge that comes in the way of attachment is offenses. After getting attached, then sometimes we get attached to a spiritual master, but we start committing offenses at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. We sometimes consider them to be very ordinary personalities, especially if the spiritual master is of a type who moves in very freely with the disciples. For example, His Holiness Vedvyas Priya Maharaj. You know, that day Brihad Bhanu Prabhu was telling me that Maharaj came to pick him up from Mathura station. Spiritual master is coming to pick up a disciple from in Mathura station. He's driving and coming down there. So when you have those kind of dealings with the spiritual master, then it is very, in one sense, it's very dangerous because you can take the spiritual master to be a very ordinary person. When the spiritual master is dealing with you in his own humility, very naturally, and not coming down, as an authority, then one can make a lot of mistakes. So joking with the spiritual master or seeing him as an ordinary person, or even asking mundane benedictions from such a personality. So these all, or minimizing their position, these all offenses can lead to our attachment, getting diluted to that spiritual master. There has to be awe and reverence attached to the attachment principle. One cannot be attached and say that I am so attached, I am moving with Maharaj very freely, I can talk anything with Maharaj. No. There has to be awe and reverence to the spiritual master. He is not, yes, he is our ever well-wishing friend, but he is not our friend. He is our spiritual master. So that gap has to be there. So attachment with awe and reverence. This opens the door towards liberation. Because the next verse again is a very beautiful verse, and I don't want to talk much because somebody else will be lecturing on that. Why the spiritual masters are so special? Because they do not have any other agenda. Titikshava karunika suhrida sarvadehinam ajata shatrava shanta sadhava sadhubhushanaha. They don't have any other agenda. Their only agenda for coming down into this material world is to deliver us. They are not coming here all the way. Why do you think His Holiness, His Grace Shankar Shanda Sadhikari travels so much? Is it because he wants to tour the world? Obviously not. Even when I read his itinerary, his agenda, it is mind-boggling. Nobody can travel. I mean, I can't imagine, at least in my wildest dreams, ever travel. Even one trip to India and then I get backache. After that I'm thinking, no more flights for one more month. But then, continuously in a missionary spirit, at that age, these devotees are traveling. So why are they traveling? Simply because they want to fulfill the desire of Srila Prabhupada to make the entire world Krishna consciousness. And therefore, there is nothing should stop us in putting our faith in these personalities, in these great missionary personalities, and developing our attachment. Otherwise, we will not begin our spiritual life. So these are some of the principles of attachment. And when we get attached to such devotees by their mercy, definitely we will go back to Godhead. Not by our qualifications, but by the simple, by their prayers, because they are so pure, they desire for us to get liberated, and we will get liberated. So I'll stop here and ask if there are any questions or corrections. Recursive principle.
So, yeah. How is
the cycle of bhakti starts? Because to do bhakti, you should have done previous bhakti. Is that your question? Something should be there. Some shukriti should be there. So it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that there are different types of shukriti. That type of shukriti which you are explaining is bhakti unmukhi shukriti, where bhakti begets bhakti. Bhakti done in the earlier lifetime leads to bhakti in the current lifetime. But there are other types of bhakti also. The most famous one is Agyata Shukriti. Agyata Shukriti means that accidentally we end up serving a pure devotee of the Lord. So that is the way in which one can get bhakti. And then there are various examples which Prabhupada usually gives, that the example of the well. If you have dug a well, and one pure devotee, and you might have dug a well for some other purpose, right? But a pure devotee incidentally comes one day and drinks water from the well, and there your bhakti starts. And you may not even know how it has started and why it has started. So somewhere we have pleased a devotee of the Lord in some way. So that leads to our journey commencing. And it need not be only Srila Prabhupada. It could be even that your best friend was a devotee. Like for example, my best friend was a devotee. Okay, and I became a devotee because my best friend was a devotee in college, and we both went to the same company eventually. But because he was my best friend, I was helping him in his material career, and I didn't want anything in return, honestly, because he was my best friend. Like, how do you help your best friend? You don't want anything. You'll say that for you anything, mate. My life for you. It's like that. So he was my best friend. So I helped him in his material life, and then he became a devotee, and then he gave me Krishna consciousness. And when I helped him, I didn't know he was a devotee. Okay, he kept it a little bit secret. He said, "Oh no, I am doing something and all that." Initially, he kept it secret, and then he slowly started coming to my house. And then, because he felt some affection back for me, and then he gave me this. And today, thankfully, he saved me. So we never know why we become a devotee. Of course, in Madhurya Kadamini, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that one becomes a devotee sometimes simply because of causeless mercy. That is not even Agyata Sukriti. That is causeless mercy. You have not done anything to that person. But simply that person desired that you become a devotee. Srila Prabhupada and the hippies. It's not that the hippies served Srila Prabhupada before that. Prabhupada went there and Srila Prabhupada went on the mission that he wanted to deliver. So he really wanted to give Krishna consciousness to people who are absolutely not qualified. Of course, it's not that the hippies were not, the whole world is not qualified. But still, you know, that is the pastime there. So Prabhupada wanted to give. And when a sadhu wants to give, who can stop? Even we cannot stop if sadhu wants to give. Krishna Prem will come anyway, you know, whether we want or whether we don't want. Because the power of a causeless mercy of a devotee is much higher than the power in us to resist Krishna consciousness. What you are asking is, you know, will the syllabus of grade 1 be confusing to syllabus of grade 10? Yeah. It's saying that we are talking about Sankhya Yoga and all these things, whereas our path is Raganuga Bhakti. Will it not be confusing, you know, both these things? So, they are not conflicting. They are simply, you know, grade 1 syllabus, grade 2 syllabus, grade 3 syllabus and university syllabus. That's all. So, Sankhya Yoga is it is a yoga process, no doubt, but it is the elementary learning. It is, so unless we come to this conclusion that we are spirit and not matter, our real process of bhakti will never begin. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na sochani na kankshati. Sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. Unless we are situated on that platform, Brahma bhuta platform, then real bhakti will never begin. So Sankhya Yoga leads us to the Brahma bhuta platform, which we discussed, you know, few verses back. And from there, then devotional service in awe and reverence will begin, which then will lead to devotional service in spontaneity. So it's a continuum. It's not contrary to each other. Yes, Madhuri. So, it is not attachment to family member. Sorry. Oh, attachment. The question in essence is attachment to family members, if they are devotees, is that a material attachment? That is the essence of your question, right? Is it beneficial? Yeah. So, I heard in one lecture that if we cannot be attached to our own parents and to our own children, that means our heart is so hard, how can we love Krishna then? So, it is natural. That affection which we have for our near and dear ones is natural. And that is, Prabhupada actually answers that in this purport. He says that attachment now has to be dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, it has to be dovetailed. But your question is that if they are already been, it's already been done and they are already now practicing devotees, what of such attachment? Such attachment should increase actually. Attachment to family members who are devotees of the Lord should always keep increasing. It should not reduce in any manner. However, we need to be very sure that that attachment is spiritual in its nature. Only we know that. Does it make sense? Yeah. That only we know. Okay. And that is situation to situation. So, for example, let's say if parents are initiated. Okay. For example. But then parents are not hearing enough. They are not taking enough association. Okay. Then our attachment to them should show in the way we chastise them, let's say, for example. Because sometimes it happens that because of children, the parents become devotees. I am talking about those cases. Okay. Suppose you tell, no, I think you should not, you know, just, you should go to the temple at least once a week. You know, those kind of sweet chastisements if we give. Just like, for example, a father has got diabetes. So the father is, you know, silently eating chocolates. The son catches him. Now the son yells at the father, I told you not to take this chocolates. Give it back to me. Like that. Now, is that disrespect for the father? No. It's coming out of love. But if the father is, you know, giving more money to the younger brother in inheritance, elder brother, and we didn't get, and then we are yelling at the father. No. Now, that is a material attachment. The same father is there, right? So, we know deep inside why, whether our real, our dealings with our parents is because of material attachment or spiritual attachment. We know that inside our heart. So if it is spiritual attachment, yes, it must continue. If we can't love our near and dear ones, who can we love then? If we can't love our parents, less probability, less chance we will love the congregation. Less chance we will love Krishna. I don't know whether I answered or not. Yeah. And the greatest, in fact, if the parents are not devotees, then what? Then our attachment to them should be that we should do everything to behave ourselves, to be a good son or daughter to our parents, such that they are inspired to take Krishna consciousness. Then that attachment is very spiritual. That is the perfection of our attachment to our parents, actually. But for that, we have to become good children first. If we are fanatic and if we are disrespecting them and we are saying that no, as a devotee, I don't have any debts to you guys. You know, suppose I start talking like that, then that is just dry philosophy. There is the heart is very hard. That even Mayavadi can speak. That devotee means heart has to be soft. Only philosophy detachment can even make the heart hard. That's where Mayavad philosophy is right there and devotional service is right up here because the component of love. Otherwise, most of the philosophy is same. We are not matter, we are spirit. They also speak all those things. But it's a moment of love. Okay, stop here. It's 9 o'clock. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Grantra Prabhupada ki.